KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, a Geek Central Talk Show here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I am Joe, and with me
is Caleb
and
Jason.
That's right, and we've got a fantastic show for you today if you are interested in video games. If you are not, well, you'll probably enjoy the first half of the show and not so much the last half, but do stick around because we're entertaining and we're awesome, and you will think we are awesome.
And it's good to be informed about these other things so you can have water cooler conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're awesome. So totally. You want to stick around for the awesomeness that you need injected into you if you don't get it on a regular basis. So, as I said, I am Joe, and that sultry sounds you heard were Caleb and Jason.
Ooh.
And
sultry now.
Well, of course.
All right.
It's like you're awesome and sultry.
I'm feeling only slightly sultry.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Maybe as the show goes along,
you'll pick up the steam.
The sultriness.
I'll up my sultry factor.
You'll get a little more, you know, experience points. You can boost it into your sultry rank.
Okay.
Get a little bit higher.
I got to rank that up.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. All right. So if you're familiar with the show, we always start off the show with new releases. But before that, we have a fantastic PSA.
It's amazing. Sponsored by the City of Santa Clara's Cultural Commission, Breaking Out of the Box Art Exhibition opened April 17th, 2014. The exhibition, juried by members of the Cultural Commission and staff from the Triton Museum of Art, fill the corridors of City Hall with a wide variety of beautiful and thought-provoking sculptures. Admissions are free. The Triton Museum of Art is conveniently located across the street. Stop by and enjoy lovely works of art by some of the finest artists in Northern California. For more information and operating hours, call 408-615-2210.
All right. So as I said, we've got a fantastic show for you today. We're going to hit E3. The second half of the show, and of course the first half, we're going to bring you some news. It's going to be fantastic. But here for this Father's Day weekend are some new releases that maybe you or your father or maybe someone's other father, you know,
or some hybrid of the two.
Yeah. You can figure it out. It's the, you know, future and stuff. Now anyway, here are some new releases coming to the theater. We've got 22 Jump Street. That's right, not 21 Jump Street that came out before. Now this is 22 Jump Street. After making their way through high school twice, big changes are in store for officers Schmidt and Jenko when they go deep undercover at a local college. If you're not interested in 22 Jump Street, maybe you're interested in Dragons, or more like Training Your Dragon. How to Train Your Dragon 2. It's been 5 years since Hiccup and Toothless successfully united dragons and Vikings on the island of Berk. While Astrid, Snoutlot, and the rest of the gang are challenging each other to dragon races, the island's new favorite contact sport, the new inseparable pair journey through the skies, charting unmapped territories and exploring new worlds, when one of their adventures leads to discovery of a secret ice cave that is home to hundreds of new wild dragons and the mysterious Dragon Rider. The two friends find themselves at the center of a battle to protect the peace.
Dun, dun, dun. So, if the theatre is not your forte, try maybe some DVDs and Blu-ray.
That was a lot of rhyming. That was pretty good.
Thank you. That was impressive even for me.
Sultry level increased.
Right. So maybe check out Alan Partridge on Blu-ray and DVD. When a fellow DJ finds out he's being let go under new management of the station, he decides to hold the place hostage and chooses to put fellow and famous DJ Alan Partridge in the middle of it.
Losing sultry levels.
Not my call. It's just what's coming out. And this is only a smattering of the things coming out.
Right.
There's Tim's Vermeer on Blu-ray and DVD. Tim Jennison, inventor and expert in optics, took it upon himself to undercover the technique that Johannes Vermeer used to capture the amazing sense of light and depth in his paintings. Tim's controversial hypothesis is that Vermeer used a device that allowed him to better show these colors. Directed by Teller of Penn and Teller fame. Then there is Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit, on Blu-ray and DVD. Seemingly normal and unassuming PhD and analyst, Jack Ryan is also a quiet member of the CIA. When he uncovers a plot to destabilize the U.S. economy and then the globe, he alone is the one who can solve and stop the plot. While navigating the increasingly complex interpersonal relationships that are affected by his sudden activation as an agent. Then there is Nonstop on Blu-ray and DVD. While on a transatlantic flight, U.S. Air Marshal is informed that he must convince the U.S. government to transfer $150 million into an offshore account, or every 20 minutes, a passenger will die. Then there's Visitors on Blu-ray and DVD, a unique film composed of merely 24 shots. This feature is a meditation on the experience people share with technology. The film has been described as capital A art. Then there's, rounding out this list, is Adult World on Blu-ray and DVD. A recently graduated aspiring poet takes a job at a local adult store while reaching for her destined literary greatness. To balance the seedier side of her life, she fosters her mentorship with a reclusive writer. That rounds out our selection.
Nice. All right. Moving on to some new releases of video games. And in fact, my first two were surprises from E3.
Ooh.
So we have number one, Entwined for the PS4. It's an abstract action/arcade game about two souls who are in love, but they can't be together. These souls are represented by a bird and a fish, which you must learn to control simultaneously. Think Brothers with the thumbsticks. If you're familiar with Brothers, if you're not, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Go Google it or Bing it or whatever you use.
Find it on the internets.
Yeah. Over the course of 9 lifetimes, you will help these two characters come together with the eventual goal of uniting them for eternity.
No.
The second one, and we'll say it looked very pretty, and I'll talk about it more in the second half of the show. Yeah. Next, we have... Get your pen, write down, or pop out a notepad app on your phone or iPad or whatever you use, because this is a lengthy title. We've got Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix Hyper Edition X Plus Alpha DLC for Dead Rising 3.
I didn't think that was going to be the actual title. I thought they were joking.
Nope. Not when it comes to the real that deal. Game, yeah.
Yeah.
And it is still Capcom.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. If anybody could make a title like that, it'd be Capcom.
Yeah. Again, we'll probably talk a little bit more about that in the second half of the show, but those two were the, like, hey, you don't have to wait very long, as in, they're out now, in the press conferences. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on to other things that weren't mentioned at E3, I don't think so anyway. Blood of the Werewolf. For the 360 and the PC, become Selena, loving mother, devoted wife, and powerful werewolf. Take revenge on the monsters that have slain your husband and stolen your child, and this love letter to classic platformers. Seamlessly transform from human to werewolf in Light of the Moon as you shoot, slash, and smash your way through over 30 enemies and face off against 5 brutal boss arenas. If you don't like werewolves, but you like World War II, well, there's Enemy Front for the 360, PS3, and PC. Enemy Front is the realistic tale of a hardened soldier dropped behind Nazi lines to engage in dynamic, diversified missions ranging from quick skirmishes, espionage assignments, and sabotage activities. The epic scope of Enemy Front spans several years and key battles as it progresses from the trenches of a desolate France right on through to Berlin and a secret weapons base. And the tie-in with the movie release, How to Train Your Dragon 2 for the 360, the PS3, the Wii U, and the 3DS.
Wow. So if you're feeling a little overwhelmed with all this visual, all these this moving picture entertainment, perhaps you want to just calm
it's
down.
Too much for me.
It's yeah, too much.
Read a comic book.
I want to read a comic book.
That's a good idea. Here's some that you might want to add to your poll list. From DC, Constantine, number 15. His paranormal investigations bring John Constantine to Hong Kong, where someone is using magic to drain all the good fortune from the city. Across town at Marvel, it's Captain Marvel, number 4. While Captain follows a hunch about the fate of Rocket Girl's people, her history with the man she suspects at the heart of the situation may come back to bite her. Will he turn the Avengers against Captain Marvel? Then at IDW, it's Angry Bird Comics, number 1. The ever-popular birds versus structures and pigs story continues, now in comics form.
Ooh.
Over here on the West Coast, it's from Image, it's Red City, number 1. Tasked with finding an ambassador's missing daughter, Cal Talmeridge finds an ever-deepening tangle of as his investigation takes him even deeper into Mars Central, a.k.a. Red City. Then Dark Horse, it's Abe Sapien, number 13. The deaths of so many are dogging the steps of Abe. He vows to never again let such horror happen, but fate seems to have different plans for Abe. This is also the beginning of a new story arc, so it's a good jumping on point for new readers.
Always a good thing. All right, and finally, moving on to music, we've got Stockholm from Chrissy Hynde, the debut... Stop it, phone. Why did you do that? it's the debut release for the Pretenders lead singer. Features guest appearances from Neil Young and John McEnroe, as well as production from her co-writer, Bjorn Yetling. I saw her perform on Stephen Colbert. It was good.
Cool.
Second, you have Zaba from Glass Animals. The debut full-length release for the British quartet led by David Bailo was self-produced by Bailo. Then we have Stay Gold by First Aid Kit, the third full-length release and the first on the Columbia label for the Swedish sister duo was produced by Mike Mogis. Then we have Lazaretto from Jack White. It seems like about every week in music, Jack White is attached to something.
he's a
man loves
man.
His music, mm-hmm. Yes. The second solo release for the White Stripes / Rantacore / Dead Weather musician / producer shows influences of blues, country, folk, hip-hop, and rock music. And I'm shocked. then last
genres, caught a catch-em-all.
Yeah. And then we have Hard Strings from Howling Bells. The fourth full-length release for the London-based Australian indie rock band was produced by Catherine J. Marks and Alan Mulder.
Do you think Jack White is going after... the Hardest Working Man in Rock and Roll title?
It's possible.
Maybe. I don't know.
When you have the opportunities mm-hmm. and you can do what you love, I definitely don't fault him for it. It's mm-hmm. just, it is funny. It seems like almost every week there's like something. He's either produced something mentioned or
worked on the album.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah.
He's a talented guy. I can understand mm-hmm. why he'd be attached to so much stuff.
Yep.
All right. That was the new releases. Hopefully you found something in there interesting. If not, there's plenty of other things that we were not able to mention just because it would take the entire show to do, and we don't want to do that as an entire show.
No.
That's not really our purpose here.
No, nor is it very entertaining to listen to.
Exactly. Well, maybe. I guess it depends on who you get.
Yeah.
You know, if you got like certain celebrities or something mm-hmm. to read stuff, it could be funny. But we're not of that caliber yet. So we're going to take a music break, and then we're going to come back with the news. Gentlemen. Tease the folks some news, I think. To get them on the edge of their mm-hmm. seat. If you're driving, maybe not get on the edge of your seat. But
keep tuned in.
Yeah, just metaphorically get in mm-hmm. the edge of your seat.
How about the origins of the moon?
What?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to follow that. I'm going to go with new and interesting ways to use your touchscreen.
All right. Well, those things definitely pique my interest. I'm sure they pique your interest. So stick around after the music break, which was going to be I Don't Want to Live on Mars from Ziggy Marley from the album Fly Rasta. All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. And just a shout out to all the kids at Santa Clara university, graduating and all that stuff. We're all partying out mm-hmm. there. So congrats to them for those who have. And
yeah.
If you hadn't and you need to do some summer stuff, you can do it.
We believe in you.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get to the music.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 from the Underground Sound. You just heard the artist Heathers, the track The Third Rail from the album Kingdom, and before that was Ziggy Marley's I Don't Want to Live on Mars from the album Fly Rasta. Alright, we are now in
News.
That's right, in Caleb has our first story.
I do indeed. And I'm talking about the origins of the moon.
What? Like the actual moon or the movie The Moon?
Nope. The moon, the celestial body that we see at night.
I don't always see it at night.
Shush you.
Wait, are you going to spoil Destiny? It's like the traveler looks like the moon. Oh, man. You're going to make a lot of people mad.
No, it's not going to spoil Destiny. But they are now able to, within a fair degree of confidence, say that the moon is not just Earth material. Way back in the early days of the planet's existence, back when it was still mostly molten rock, it was speculated that there was a collision that broke off part. And broke off enough matter from the planet we now call Earth to make the moon. So
that's a lot of matter.
Hmm.
That is quite a bit of matter. But when they went up to...
But does it matter?
It does matter.
Ooh.
Because when they went to when the moon missions happened with the Apollo moon missions, they brought back rock samples that were analyzed. And when they were analyzed, the results were a little interesting. It supported the idea that the moon was made of material from Earth.
Cheese.
It is from Earth, so I guess by proxy. But what they did not find is material from the other celestial body that struck the Earth. So there's been some sort of like, well, what actually hit us? Was there just a weird gravitational spin that created a little more, material flying off the surface? You know, what was going on?
I got the answer.
You have the answer? What do you think the answer is?
Lasers.
Lasers were not invented yet, but a very good theory.
Alien lasers?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay.
We don't even have regular lasers to that degree.
Mm. So. Interestingly enough, lasers are involved with the solution that scientists found.
Nice. Oh.
The University of Göttingen, I apologize to the Germans out there, which is because this university is in Germany.
You have to say it. Like more quickly and more angrily.
I'll work on that. Okay. The researchers were able to get some samples of the moon rock and test them with our considerably more advanced, more sensitive mass spectrometers, the machines which can determine the chemical makeup of a material once it's been broken down into a vapor effectively.
Okay.
So that's what they did. They took a sample of moon rock, they put it into a chamber, filled it with gas, and then fluorine. Filled it with fluorine gas, and then they hit the sample with a laser, which would atomize part of it and turn it into a vapor. Then they would suck the gas out and send the results through the spectrometer, which would then filter out the fluorine and then give them everything else that remained.
Okay.
And when they did this, they found there was an abundance of oxygen-17, which is a rare version of the element that has 9 neutrons in the atom's core as opposed to the usual 8.
Okay.
So this shows that there was their conclusion was there is material in the moon that did not come from the Earth, because the Earth doesn't really have this material.
Okay. Now, well, we've heard of it.
We've heard of it. We've found it, but it's very, 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 very rare.
Okay.
And it's even more, and it's also rare in this material, the moon as well. It's 0.012% higher than it is on Earth.
Okay.
So it's like, we know it exists on Earth, we've seen it, but the concentration is higher, which indicates it was from a different celestial body than the planet Earth itself. So
we got hit by some air?
We got hit by a rock containing this extra, more of this element.
Nice
air,
bro.
Rare air.
Cool air, bro. Nice air, bro.
So there are some that are uncertain if this actually means that there is a separate body or not, but this for the moment, the consensus seems to be that the celestial body that they are calling Theia, yes, that has been dubbed Theia, struck the Earth, and then as the two pieces kind of floated around and gravity took over again, they created the moon and the Earth.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
Mystery solved!
Well, we go from striking the Earth to striking your phone lightly, hopefully.
Yeah.
There's a new company that's messing around with the way that we're interacting with our phones, with touchscreens specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure everybody remembers like the moment that they saw a touchscreen and like the little pinch and zoom thing, and it was like blowing your mind and whatnot.
The very first time you saw that happen is like, wait, they actually can do that now? It's
right.
Not just a movie special effect?
I personally was just not really excited at all, but
whatever.
I'm basically like way cooler than most people, so that's the main reason for that. But this little company called Quixo is trying to emulate that sort of bam in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Again, didn't happen for me, but for all the rest of you out there. It's a San Jose-based company that basically figured out how to make the touchscreen sense the difference between the different parts of your hand, including fingernails, knuckles, and palms.
Okay.
So it allows you to have completely different responses to each one of those materials.
Huh. That could be interesting.
Right. And the first thing that jumps to my brain is something that they end up locking out on a lot of art programs is like completely screening out any sort of palm control.
Right.
Just so that you can use some sort of stylus and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
This would be really nice because it could actually tell if it's your palm on the thing or actually part of your fingertip or your nail itself or, of course, like a stylus if you're using it. But any sort of stuff like that is an obvious use for it, but it also could go as far as any sort of weird video game that you can imagine where you have to switch over to using your knuckles to drive a car or something like that.
But to jump, you hit it with your knuckle, and then you move around with your fingertip.
But hopefully it'll end up spreading so that we'll see it on more technology pretty soon, because I can actually see a lot of pretty good uses, even if it sounds a little bit wacky right now.
You know, it would be really cool for like a musical instrument app, because then you could actually have like different responses to the different parts of your fingers as like doing drums or piano or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's true.
Be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Harmonix, are you listening?
Yes.
Right.
Nice.
Yeah.
So from touch screens to maybe now the Ant-Man drama can finally be put to rest.
Oh.
Maybe. If you've been following the show, which if you have, thank you. If you haven't, go back and catch up on the Ant-Man drama that we've been bringing to you, and no one else has. Week by week, the Ant-Man drama, which is funny
unfolds
because
here.
None of us really here are huge Ant-Man fans, but no one else is talking about it, so I figured let's make it our thing.
Yeah.
So here we go, from losing Edgar Wright and people being disappointed and possible, like, leaving because of product placements, maybe. There's lots of theories, things being thrown around. Well, here's something that isn't a theory. This has been confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel hires director Peyton Reed for Ant-Man. Okay. Adam McKay will rewrite script.
Again?
The search for Ant-Man's new director has finally ended. Marvel officially announced that Peyton Reed, best known for Jim Carrey's Yes Man and cheerleader comedy Bring It On, will be replacing Edgar Wright as director. Marvel also revealed that Adam McKay, Anchorman, Talladega Nights, who was recently rumored to be in the running to direct, is rewriting the film, though Marvel's exact terminology is contributing to the film's script.
Hmm.
The studio provided the following synopsis for the superhero flick. Armed with the astonishing ability to shrink in scale but increase in strength, Con Man, Scott Lang, must embrace his inner hero and help his mentor, Dr. Hank Pym, protect the secret behind his spectacular Ant-Man suit from a new generation of towering threats. Against seemingly insurmountable obstacles, Pym and Lang must plan and pull off a heist that will save the world. The Ant-Man drama started a couple weeks ago when Edgar Wright, who developed and championed the project for years, parted ways with Marvel, which we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Reportedly due to creative differences regarding the screenplay, McKay will now help rewrite. Over the following weeks, Rayson Thurber, We're the Millers, Ruben Fleischer, Zombieland, Nicholas Stoller, Neighbors, Michael Doser, Goon, and McKay were all rumored to be contenders for the director's chair. So there were a lot of names being thrown out.
A lot of people nixed here and there, too.
Yeah. Reed emerged as a new frontrunner for the position. Now that the film has its director, Ant-Man looks to be on track to hit its July 17th, 2015 release date. So Reed, who got his start directing episodes of the Back to the Future animated series, nearly directed another Marvel Comics adaption, Fantastic Four, over a decade ago, though that job eventually went to Tim Story. So, who knows what sort of stuff. I mean, man, this Ant-Man is so much drama with this movie. Like,
yeah, to me, the Talladega Nights writer ends up giving it sort of an interesting twist. I can't really imagine a Marvel movie with that style of humor.
Yeah, so, and Anchorman. Though Paul Rudd was in Anchorman, so
yeah,
there's some
that's
sort
true.
Of there's a tie
connector
a little bit.
There,
so
yeah.
We'll see. I mean, none of the new like Marvel movies have been horrible. Not all of them have been like incredible, but so you know.
Yeah, well, we shall see.
It'll probably turn out good, but this is definitely the one that I'm least ecstatic for. So,
well, here's something, though, that you should be excited for. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes, but you have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to find loving foster and forever homes for pets or local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook.
Very, very good. So from
Ant-Man
and all of the changes, which may cause a sense of regret in certain people, we bring you Rats That Have Actual Regret.
Okay.
Why this is interesting is because, like, up until this point, it was widely thought that that rodents are
incapable
animals
of regret.
They did not experience regret in the same way that a human does. Where, and they said the scientists did specify that regret is different than disappointment, because disappointment is it's a sense of sadness when things don't go right, whereas regret is a sense of longing for something that never actually happened. You got something other than what you were thinking, and you regret not doing the other thing.
Okay.
So, in this study, what they did was they created an experiment called Restaurant Row, where they would have food pellets that were different flavors at each of the four on a four spoke wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, as a rat would walk up to it, they would issue a tone that would tell the rat how long they would have to wait in order to get the food pellet that they wanted out of it.
Okay.
So it's not unlike when you walk up to a restaurant and they say, oh, it's going to be X amount of time waiting for this food. Then you have to evaluate within yourself, do I want to wait that long for my absolute favorite food, or am I willing to forego getting my absolute favorite to get something that could be better for at a lesser wait time?
Okay. Okay.
And
we're all familiar with that feeling right there.
Yeah. So
we're looking at you, fast food.
So as the rats would go around the track doing through the course of the experiment,
doing rat things.
Yeah. If they would go to a food that they had shown in the past that was their preferred food,
okay,
they would increase the wait time like really high, like instead of being like 10 seconds to like 30 seconds.
And oh, okay.
Wouldn't like, you know, half an hour to an hour in human timing. And then the rat would decide, well, I really like this, but I think I can get something good at the next station. And then they could go there. And, you know, when they sort of wanted, but didn't really want, like, there would be a reaction. Like, the rat would actually like turn around and look back at the other spot going, man, if I'd only waited, like, and they made sure to try and control for disappointment as opposed to genuine regret.
Okay.
In the experiment, the article kind of fleshes out some of that detail a little bit better, but it's just really interesting, like, cause it sort of shows the way psychology, like emotional psychology or emotional awareness, isn't strictly human, and it's not just part of the ape line. Like we've shown that chimpanzees and gorillas have shown a capacity for emotion that very closely mirrors what we have as humans.
Yeah, we saw Congo.
No,
not mention that movie again.
What?
But.
It's easier when they can talk back. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway, it's interesting to see that emotional intelligence there's a lot more of it in more places than we thought. So it's just kind of fascinating to see how life is still interconnected, even if it's not directly connected anymore.
Yeah.
So, I'm more fascinated by teaching rats how to tell time.
Mm-hmm. That could be interesting, yeah.
You know, you did mention that the article went into more depth. Now,
yes.
If people wanted to go and check out this article, what would be a good way to do that?
They really wanted to dig in.
If you want to get in and find out more, you can go to our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/robotsattackshow, or you can do a search for us, Robots Attack, two words. The other best way to find the articles is to go to Twitter. Our handle is robotsattackme, all one word. And then there is our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you want one place to find everything, one place to interact and find archive episodes of the show, go to robotsattack.me.
Excellent.
Okay. Our next story is going back to space.
Space.
Farther than the moon.
Whoa, snap. Wait a minute.
At some point.
Wait, what?
Basically, believe it or not, NASA has been kicking around ideas for warp-capable ships for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't have really easy ways of doing that.
Nope, not on Earth.
Not so much.
But there are some theories that make it plausible. And one of the theories that's been around for a little while is basically that you can create a ring around a ship and basically pump enough energy into that ring to warp space itself.
I've heard about that one.
But
yeah.
The breaking point was they ended up doing all the math on it and they realized that you basically needed the entire power of like an entire solar system in order to make it work, which we don't have readily available.
Oh, not so much.
Although it does explain like the gates on Mass Effect a little bit. There's a little bit of design there that mm-hmm. I think is kind of interesting. But somebody Take else has been right. Somebody else has been messing around with the equations, and they realized that if you just make the ring somewhat less stylish.
All right. So you make it utilitarian and it becomes more functional?
Exactly. It looks like he's figured out how to do it with a doable amount of energy. I mean, it's still a lot,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
but it's not an entire solar system's worth of energy.
Huh.
And oddly enough, it just make the ring fat.
I can think of far worse designs.
So yeah,
so is that sort of how the hyperdrive in the Clone Wars is supposed to work with the
I wouldn't rings? Doubt that it was something that kind of stemmed from that. I don't yeah. know how far back the original ring concept went, but with this new idea, there's some concept artists that have already pounced on it and have made pictures of what this thing could possibly look like. Mm-hmm. So if you wish to see what the future of warp drive might look like, we'll post it up on the internet just for you.
Oh, that's so nice. We're helpful like that.
So from fat space travel to...
Yeah, with a PH and an F.
Whoa.
To the Kingpin has been cast.
Oh, I see right. what you did there.
See what he did there? Because he's big.
He's a big just, fella.
He's big boned.
Guy. He's a big guy.
He's big boned.
So if
he's
you're
the
like,
Cartman of Marvel villains.
Yeah. You're like, well, wait, they already cast the Kingpin back in the Daredevil movie with Ben Affleck. No, yeah. this is the Netflix original series that we've mentioned on the show. I believe last week I talked about who they cast for Daredevil,
mm-hmm.
dude from HBO show, Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
Now they've got the Kingpin, and it's someone you know.
Hey,
although,
personally?
Well, not personally.
Okay.
But you know of him.
Okay.
He's starred in Full Metal Jacket and Law and Order Criminal Intent and the upcoming Jurassic World, and he was bad guy in The Cell. With Jennifer Lopez. Vincent Tafferfernero.
Yes, him.
He has been cast as Wilson Fisk, aka the Kingpin, in Netflix Daredevil series.
He's a pretty big guy, so
yeah,
it works.
New showrunner.
Is he going to shave his head?
I don't know. Let's see what the story says. I don't know if I'll mention head shaving, but the new showrunner, Stephen S.D. Knight from Spartacus, welcomed via Twitter saying, huge welcome to the amazing Vincent D'Onofrio as Wilson Fisk, a spectacular addition to the Daredevil family. Hashtag Daredevil. Meanwhile, Jeff Loeb, Marvel's head of television, also released a statement. We're incredibly... It was in the quote, hashtag
no,
Daredevil.
No, I got
so
you.
Must have said,
I just, I
hashtag
liked it.
Daredevil. I think I'm imagining too with the arm, like, swing too.
Yeah. It's better that way. Really I prefer jazz yeah. hands, personally.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe for certain press conferences, he did different things.
Right.
Yeah, okay. So, quote, we're incredibly proud to have an actor with the gravitas and versatility as Vincent joining Marvel's Daredevil in such an integral role, said Loeb. Wilson Fisk is a... iconic villain whose cunning and power make him the dangerous equal of our hero. D'Onofrio joins Boardwalk Empire's Charlie Cox, who, as I mentioned, was cast as Matt Murdock slash Daredevil on the series. Fisk is described as, quote, a powerful businessman whose interest in the future of Hell's Kitchen will bring him into conflict with the blind attorney Matt Murdock and his alter ego Daredevil as they create the ultimate dining experience. Hell's
Wait,
Kitchen.
Yeah.
Everything but that last part. Daredevil will run for 13 episodes. Daredevil will run for 13 episodes and is slated for a 2015 premiere on Netflix.
Ooh,
okay.
So there you go, man. It's getting, the ball is rolling. We're going to have Batman, well, Commissioner Gordon, Gotham.
Right.
You know, this is TV is getting all it's getting all the superhero stuff.
Yeah, they're also
Netflix isn't technically, but you're watching.
Yeah, TV, the Constantine also is getting a show.
Yeah, yeah, there's more and more stuff.
And he's British.
Yeah, he's actually British this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the guy from Assassin's Creed 4.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, huh. The actor, the voice actor and the thing. I believe so. But so yeah, it's cool that it's like where maybe they didn't want to take a risk on actual like feature film with a lot of these, but now it's like, hey, the streaming shows are popular. We can do a TV series. Like it's big, TV is becoming a bigger avenue for these things, and so that's really
cool. Yeah, and
really
it doesn't rule it out for the future in films either.
Yeah, and it's honestly, if the series is more concerned with writing, television is a better place for it. Not because films don't have good writing, but because
you have longer time to spread out the story. And
13 hours as opposed to 3, you can tell a lot more story in 13 than 3, and you can tell it more delicately, for lack of a better phrase, like more elegantly. That's the word I was looking for.
There you go. Like Vincent D'Onofrio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very elegant.
Often does.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Talk.
Yes.
So do you have our last story of the evening, Caleb?
I think I might. It is about, have you heard of the Turing test?
The Turing test.
I'm going to say no.
All right.
No.
It is a test of artificial intelligence to see whether it can pass off as human or not.
Oh, I have heard of this.
Yes.
Okay.
Alan Turing made a test that, you know, that has criteria for how a computer can convince a human that it is also a human being. And over the weekend, beginning of this week, there was a lot of hay made about a supercomputer which has passed the Turing test with a 30% accuracy, but
it cheated.
A Russian supercomputer.
Yes.
It cheated. It watched Blade Runner.
Well, it didn't watch Blade Runner, but it is a little bit of a cheat. Not completely, but there's a certain amount of fudging in
I thought it was genius.
And how it works. The way they did it is kind of smart, but the actual results are not nearly quite as convincing of a spectacular pass as the news report would have you believe. Now, the program, because it's not a supercomputer, it's a program, was named. What they name this app? It's
Cheaty McCheater app.
Right. Kid.
They named the app Eugene, and it is just simply
Eugene Levy, like the guy from American Pie and all those Christopher Guest movies.
Yeah.
Sure. If he was a 13-year-old boy from St. Petersburg, Russia.
Maybe once.
Couldn't prove it or disprove it by me.
Mm-hmm. So the folks at TechDirt kind of unpacked this press release a little bit, and they are a little bit less enthusiastic about the results. they bring up that it's not a supercomputer; it is a chat bot. It is a program designed to respond as if it was human, but it's not quite the same as Watson, which was creating a human-like response from a query made by a human. Lots of other programs have done the same thing. And they have passed it with considerably higher ratings than Eugene's 33%. In fact, one a few years ago called Cleverbot passed it with 59% of the judges that it was a human being. They sort of bent the rules by saying it was a 13-year-old boy from the Ukraine. So when you got a weird response from the computer, it could be explained away by, well, it's not English first language sort of stuff. and a young person at that. Anyways, it goes on to just kind of poke a few holes into the deflate it a bit. Not to necessarily take away from the accomplishment of passing the Turing test, because that is a feat. That's impressive. But the headlines that people were making about it were just a little bit beyond what the actual results were. So
a little exaggerated.
Yes. Yeah. It's just kind of a little reality check of that was cool, but you just tone back the exuberance a touch and you're closer to what it's supposed to be. So it's sort of a robot story because it's the automated system, the AI that will eventually enslave us all. Wait, no, not quite. But we're not sure yet. There's speculation whether that kind of AI can even be developed or not. So
it's true.
So there you go. The Turing test still stands. We have yet to create 100% passing on the Turing test.
Nice. Well, I think that's been a most informative news portion of Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. I think now the audience deserves some music. So
You've earned it.
You've earned it. You listened and participated.
Good job.
Good job, audience.
You deserve a reward.
Gold stars all around.
Yay.
So we're gonna,
in the form of music.
In the form of music, which will be the artist Holy Child with the track Happy With Me from the album Mind Speak. And then we'll be back with more Robots Attack, where we're into the core, where we're going to hit up E3 and all of the glory that happened. We're going to break it up. We got tons of stuff to talk about, so let's get right to that music so we can get right into E3. All right, we'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this.
You are now entering the core.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. You are now deep inside the core of our show, where we will be talking about E3. It happened / is happening this week. So we're going to try to hit as much as we can. We could probably do an entire show or maybe a couple shows on every single thing, but we're going to try to do our best to hit up different stuff. We're going to break it up into the different companies and third parties and first parties and all that jazz. And Caleb is going to talk about Nintendo, and he's going to start us off.
That's right. So Nintendo, like last year, did not do a big conference show. They did a video event that was streamed, and I think they also had a booth at the show, but it's not, they didn't have the huge press conference like Sony and Microsoft did.
They're tight on cash. They have better things to spend it on. So,
yeah, and they're a little bit different company in terms of the way they operate too. So there's that. A lot of what the video kind of focused on was the craft, for lack of a better phrase, the crafting of the Nintendo experience. It was more about kind of what Nintendo means with the care they put into their software and stuff like that, as opposed to the strict, more triangles and pixels than you've ever seen before in a game kind of thing.
Okay.
Which has sort of been what they've been selling for a while now, but that's kind of their main pitch.
In case people didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you were unfamiliar, if you just got the Wii U and you weren't sure
what its deal is.
Yeah.
They've never really been big on hardware in the sense of like its
bleeding edge.
Yeah, its graphic capabilities, this and that. It's more like here's, you know, their sort of style, their art direction.
Does it allow Mario
to
jump?
Yeah, kind of thing. The video was kind of fun. It started off with a robot chicken sketch, and then there were a little robot chicken animated vignettes throughout the video as well, which kept it kind of fun. They introed the Smash Brothers segment, which was the first one, with a big like Matrix style fight scene between Reggie Fils-Aime and Satoru Iwata, which are the two presidents of Nintendo.
Vincent D'Onofrio wasn't there, was he?
No.
Okay.
And then, and that I transitioned into some of the new features of Smash Brothers, and well, the one of the first of which is the Mii Fighters and a system called Amiibo. I'll get to both those in a second. The Mii Fighters is something they wanted to add and do Smash Brothers Brawl on the original Wii, but the way that the Miis were kind of designed at that point, they weren't really that kind of like more hardcore sort of character design. So with the improvements they've made with the Wii U, they now can make more lifelike Miis. So they now decided to add them into the game, so you can fight against your friends, yourselves, or famous Miis that have been made over the years.
Oh, okay.
The Miis come in three different basic fighting types. There's the Brawler, which is lots of hand-to-hand, the Sword Fighter, which is kind of self-explanatory, and the Gunner.
He uses a spear.
Yeah.
What type of weapon does he use?
The Gunner is also kind of self-explanatory, but the way it operates is more like Mega Man or Samus, where it's got an attachment on the arm, which is where the gun is.
Okay.
Where they kind of become a little bit more unique is that you get to pick what their special abilities are.
Okay.
So you can create like 24 up to you can create 24 different variations of a Mii character.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of cool. The other thing that they're adding in is a system they're calling Amiibo. And if you've seen the Skylanders game where you have toys that have a little chip in them, you drop it on the special base, the toy and the game now interact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're adding that into Smash Brothers. And then they can be adding this into other games as well. And it's one of its, you know, the primary separator when you look at Skylanders and this is that these are now Nintendo characters as opposed to Skylanders.
Right.
Although the systems are compatible because it's like I mentioned last week and we're talking about Apple's announcement, they're making a kit, a way to let other people play in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing here. It's a kit, developer's kit. They can add this into their game by making the appropriate sensors available.
Yeah, that makes sense. Skylanders is big.
Skylanders is huge.
Yeah, it's popular.
Yeah, and what's also kind of cool about this system is that the chips are also writable. So that means that the communication goes both ways. So when you drop your let's say you and your friend both bought Link because you like Zelda, each of you would have Link as a character, but the way you play, the way you upgrade your links separately means that they will respond a little bit differently if they were to face off against one another.
Mm, okay.
So, and they will grow and evolve as you use them or as they get played against more and stuff like that. So it's kind of a way to create ghosts in the game.
Mm.
Or if you're not familiar with the racing game Ghosts, that's based on your previous play. Anyway, it creates AIs that grow with the characters and that can differentiate themselves as they continue to expand, which is kind of cool. They're also going to be adding this features into games like Mario Kart and a new game called Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, which is coming out in 2015. Hmm. And obviously this will also work with Skylanders and with Disney Infinity figures.
Toad as like Toad from
Mario is getting a solo title where he is the main character.
And he's a captain.
Toad. Yeah, he's Captain Toad. And this is also the first Smash Brothers that'll be on two systems. They're putting on the 3DS and the Wii U. 3DS will be dropping in October of this year. And the Wii U version is still saying holiday this year. So that's a little bit more ambiguous. We're not sure what's going on with that.
Oh, really? The 3DS version's in October?
Yes.
Huh. Thought it was sometime this summer. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, according to the video, October 3rd.
Oh, okay.
Any game I mentioned going forward is going to be sometime in 2015. They didn't say when.
Mm-hmm. You'll hear a lot of that.
You'll hear a lot of that as we go through the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a new Zelda, naturally, and it actually looks kind of rad.
I did watch the
trailer,
quote-unquote, for it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's now got an open world. So it's
Well, it was fairly open world in previous incarnations, wasn't
it? It was, but each of them were isolated. Like Wind Waker, you had a large map, but each area was self-contained. Okay. The island itself was approachable only from water. You couldn't, like, go just, you know, from place to place.
So accessible. Effectively, they were levels then.
Yeah, they were, they were effectively levels separated by distance as opposed to
I think that's kind of how, like, the developer described it. Like, we made these chunks, like, separate levels or areas, and then, like, put them together to make it feel like it was a big open world. But now it actually will be a big open world where all the parts will, it'll feel like they're actually connected with one another.
Yes. So that means that all locations are approachable from anywhere on the map. So, like, you know, if you see mountains in the distance, if you travel in a relatively straight line, you can get there. And if you turn around and go, you can go a different direction and come to another place. So it's, you know, all these like GTA and Assassin's Creed and all these other games that have had larger, more open worlds where you have more choices about how you play the game, that will now be available in Zelda, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Cool.
His bow and arrow look pretty cool.
Yeah. And obviously they're taking advantage of the fact that they have a much more powerful processor in this one, in the Wii U. Again, there's no singular plot path like there was before. Like, there is still a plot thread that you'll have to go through if you want to complete the plot section of the game, but it's now
sounds like a lot of people's favorite stuff is side quests anyway. So
So it's now kind of they took the best parts of what people liked about Zelda, and honestly, this one sounds like it's more like the original Zelda, where you appear in the world and you start walking.
I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, they haven't been able to do that since cartridge games.
Cool. Let's see.
just weird to think. Yeah. You know?
There's a new Pokemon for 3DS. That's kind of par for the course.
Another huge franchise. Not surprising.
Was that the one that was rehashing an old place, or is that a completely new thing? Because I heard
The Pokemon?
Yeah.
I think it looks like it's new. It looks like it's all new. The new mechanic is Ultra Evolution or something like that, where it's like you can trigger an ability which will push your Pokemon into a new level of evolution.
Yeah, I heard Mudkips are getting like some sort of super evolution or something like that.
Ah, the Mudkip. The wizard has turned you into a Mudkip. Is this awesome? Yes or yes?
I don't know anything about the game, but I know Mudkips.
Before you continue, Jason does have some awesome news.
Ooh, what's
since
that?
You mentioned
that
is,
awesome.
It is true.
Here's some awesome.
The San Jose Youth Symphony's Philharmonic Orchestra, under the artistic leadership of music director and conductor Yamir Smet, presents its season finale concert. The concert will be held on Saturday, June 14th.
That's this Saturday.
Yes.
At 7:30 p.m. at the California Theater on First Street in San Jose. For more information, please visit www.sjys.org or call 408-885-9220.
Nice.
Very cool. And we're almost to the end of some of the bigger announcements. There's a sequel to Bayonetta, which I didn't realize was going to happen, but there you are.
Oh really?
Yeah.
It was like originally announced when like the Wii U was first like announced. Like it was one of the big like Bayonetta 2 coming only to the Wii U. Like,
yeah. Somehow like Bayonetta became a Wii U exclusive, and that's just kind of a strange thought to me. But one of the things they added was alternate costumes for Bayonetta. Three particular ones.
Oh, goodness.
Princess Peach, Link.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Princess Peach. It looked a little weird to me. Then there's Link. It's all right. And then the Samus Aran, to which I say WTF. It looked really, it looked weird. It was interesting, but I'm just looking at it going, what the?
Does it still have like guns on the bottom of the shoes? Or?
Probably. They did not show the full suit for
Caleb
the Samus.
Caleb just made a face of disgust.
they didn't show the full suit of Samus. It was really just from like the shoulders up. So all you really saw was the helmet, which kind of like, oh, that's Samus.
Now they just have to have alternate costumes for each of the real characters. That's the Bayonetta version.
All right, moving on to
Smash Brothers.
There's a new Yoshi game. It's developed by the same team that did Kirby's Epic Yarn, so it's got some similar some similar trends, but okay. Kirby's Epic Yarn was a lot of fun, so I'm sure this one won't be much different in terms
will
of
it be in yarn style? Or?
Yes.
Oh,
it's got more in the, they really kind of work with like, what does how does the texture respond? How does Yoshi work in response to these textures and stuff like that?
Cool.
So, yeah. It looks pretty fun. Then there's Hyrule Warriors. You smash Legend of Zelda with Dynasty Warriors and you get this game.
Yeah.
I've heard about this one.
It doesn't look terrible. I'm not sure whether it's good or not. Just because it's such a strange direction for the franchise to go. But it's kind of cool that you can play characters that aren't just Link or Zelda. You can now play as Impa, who showed up in a few of the games, and Minda. Midna, who was in Twilight Princess. There is also a new Kirby game besides, and it's not Kirby's Epic Yarn. It's the Kirby and the Rainbow Curse.
Ooh, the Rainbow Curse.
Yes.
Okay.
There's
is
also
an epic Rainbow Curse, or
they just said Rainbow Curse. I don't know. Okay. There is a new Xenoblade Chronicles, for those who want their mecha action.
Okay.
It looks appropriately overdone.
I was going with Bladish or
Xenoish. The drama in the dialogue is very very typical of some of the versions of that genre.
Clenched fists.
A lot of clenched fists.
Shivering eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. There's the Mario Maker, which is a Mario modding tool, so you can
I've always wanted to give him like purple overalls. So
I don't know if you can modify him so much, but you can make your own levels now.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
And then I'm gonna round it up with the game I thought was most interesting from Nintendo, and that's Splatoon. It's a 4-on-4 game that is it's a shooter with type, but it's you squirt ink over the area to control it. So you have two teams, two colors, and your players are actually squids. So they have a human form and a squid form. In the human form, they can use the squirt guns and the other tools of the shooter genre. And in squid form, they have a incredibly increased rate of speed, including ability to transit through their own color. So if you that also means if you shoot your color up on top of over a wall and onto a roof, you can actually transit onto the roof by following the color. The screen of the controller is also a mini map, which can also allow players to warp, it's more like a leap launch into where their friends are, so that if there's like a pitched battle going on between your fellow players and the other team, you got taken out, you can jump back into the fray quickly. Like, because it's like maybe it's on the other side of the map or something like that. It's just a nice way to like join your friends real quick. And it's something that I think would be cool for other games to, if they could find a way to like not cheat, add that to other, like especially some of the excessively large Battlefield maps. That would be kind of rad. And the final thing in the video presentation was Shigeru Miyamoto, one of the founders of it, playing a blurred out game. And the speculation on the internet is that it's Star Fox.
Oh, okay.
And if it is Star Fox, it looked like there might be the R-Wing is returning. They didn't have the R-Wing on screen, but the way the environment on the screen was responding, it looked like it was an R-Wing, a Star Fox-like game.
Oh, okay.
So, don't know. It would be cool to see like an actual R-Wing.
To Wii U?
Yeah, it's a Wii U. Wii? Yeah. Okay. But they said absolutely nothing about it in any other place. It's just Shigeru Miyamoto turned around and said, "Oh, hello. Thanks for watching. We're building cool stuff here. Bye." And then he went back to playing the game. Just like, but what are you playing?
What are you playing, man? So you know.
It's like some other system.
So in a few words, like, how would you kind of describe? Because, you know, there was a lot of talk of like, you know, the Wii U not selling terribly well. Did they kind of like try to address that, or kind of was there kind of like a message you were sort of getting from the presentation? Like
The message was effectively trust Nintendo still, because like I still think they are doing a lot of innovative work, but it's just the challenge they're facing is that the console itself is not a cutting edge device.
Mm.
What they are doing with it, I think, is pretty cutting edge, but since the thing itself isn't, it's sort of hard to get people on board with it.
Oh, okay.
But like with things like Splatoon and the new and the Skylanders edition stuff, I think it will be pretty cool to see where they go with it, because I think it has potential to keep the Nintendo faithful strong, and also it might actually get other people interested in possibly joining in. Even if a bit auxiliary.
Nice. All right. Well, before I hit the Sony press conference, Jason has a PSA.
Want to listen to KSU even when you're not near a radio? Stream us whenever you want at www.ksu.org or on the TuneIn Radio app website, and never be without the underground sound.
Wow.
Impressive.
I'm familiar with this one.
That's why I give it to you. Nice and easy. No crazy names. No, you know, the one we generally do because it's useful information. And what was it always, if you're going to use a TuneIn?
Pro tip, a search for KSCU. Our call letters, not 103.3, because
that is useless.
That will give you a lot more results than you want to deal with.
I heard a lot of 103.3s.
All right. So before I get to the Sony...
Radio Paraguay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. So before I get to the Sony press conference, I feel like I should... All right. None of us here own a Wii U.
No.
None of us here own a PlayStation 4.
Correct.
So, and... You know, we talk a lot about Microsoft on the show, so I just want to stress, I'm not biased towards, you know, like, I like my Xbox One, I like Microsoft, but that doesn't mean I don't like Sony stuff.
We're still gamers. Yeah, we still appreciate what they all are making.
Gamers.
If I could get a PlayStation 4 right now, I would.
Exactly.
If I could own all three, I would own all three.
Especially what I'm going to talk about next.
I probably wouldn't buy a Wii U.
No, that's you. Oh, maybe you.
Maybe once they get Star Fox.
Yeah. But I will say there were some things about the press conference that I will honestly say kind of irked me a little bit, and I can't honestly say if that was because I do prefer my Xbox a little bit more than the PlayStation 1, but I just wanted to get that out of the way. So, okay, so Sony had a rather long press conference. They, sadly, at the beginning, I think they fixed it. They had a lot of microphone issues. So there were like a lot of, like the first few presenters, when they came out and talked, there were chunks where like their mics cut out, and so
that's no
you
good.
Missed some of it. So that
especially
that
when you're
sucked.
A company that makes microphones.
Yeah. So that was definitely like that sucked. Mm-hmm. It was only kind of near the beginning of it, and then I think they finally figured it out and fixed it. But they were definitely stressing games look better on the PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this was a dig at the 1080p debacle that is being spread. So that kind of annoyed me a little bit. It was their little way of saying like, haha, games look better here than anywhere else. And don't get me wrong, the games look gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But that was definitely something they were stressing a lot towards the beginning. It kind of petered off as the press conference went along. They started off the press conference with Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Looked awesome.
Okay.
As well it should.
Yeah. They're definitely banking with Destiny, where kind of like Microsoft is sort of banking with Call of Duty.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting all the stuff sort of first. They're getting a beta first on July 17th.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting like an exclusive co-op map, multiplayer map, that sort of thing. And there's going to be, and this looked pretty cool to me, a white PlayStation 4 bundle with Destiny dropping on the same day, September 9th, Destiny.
Which alternate colors for the systems has done very well for them in the past.
Yeah. And I think it comes with like a 30-day PlayStation Plus membership or something like that. So yeah, they opened it up big with Destiny. still looks awesome to me. They actually had the little like marker guy or whatever the little the drone thing is going to be, voiced by Peter Dinklage, I believe.
Nice thing.
Yeah, and they kind of went in a little bit more of, you know, like you are the hero with your friends and, you know, taking on the enemy and all that sort of stuff. And if you're a fan of Destiny, it looked awesome to me. I'm a fan of it. I can't wait to play it. And
yeah.
It just, it looked even better. Then they followed it up with the game that makes me really want to buy a PlayStation 4. They had a sort of like gameplay footage of The Order 1886. It looked gorgeous. It was like the character exploring some sort of like, I don't know if it was a hospital or a morgue, that like the power was out, it was all run down, so he was holding up a torch or lantern, and you know, going through it, and they it looked gorgeous, and he comes along an enemy, and then the enemy like spots him and starts chasing him, and you're running down a hall shooting, and then getting knocked over, climbing through this and all that, and yeah, it just it looks gorgeous. Again, it definitely stressed the looks better on PlayStation 4, although it is an exclusive to PlayStation 4, so it's not going to look any better anywhere else.
Right.
Then they had next is Entwined, which was something I mentioned that was one of the ones like, you don't have to wait too long to get it because it's out now.
Okay.
And it is out now. And what was cool about this one to me also was part of the game was created from recent graduates of San Jose State's illustration and animation program.
Oh, right on.
So, and then I forget the other portion, but I just wrote that down because it's local. Hey,
kind of cool.
And so, it's a
they run a tough department team over there, so I'm not surprised.
But yeah, it looked cool. They had them on stage, showing off, playing a little bit of it, and they talked about like it's as I mentioned earlier. Unless you're just tuning in now, we're talking about E3. I'm hitting the Sony press conference. You use both analog sticks to control the characters, a la like Brothers, Tale of Two Sons. That was released earlier. And you control them through different obstacles, and then there are parts where you have to like combine them together to get through other portions. It's like they turn into, I want to say it was like a green dragon or something or whatever that they mentioned, but yeah, it's like a bird and a fish, and you know the story was like they're lovers, but they can't be together because one's a bird and one's a fish.
Yes,
one flies, one's in the water. Mm-hmm. You know,
so it's actually an old saying of bird and a fish fall in love, but where do they build their nest?
Maybe this game will finally answer that question.
Indeed,
only dragons know apparently.
In space,
yeah. So yeah, that looked cool, and congrats to recent grads from San Jose State. Then they had Infamous Second Son standalone DLC called First Light. Now, this, as in a standalone DLC, means you don't need Infamous Second Son to play this. If you have Infamous Second Son, you'll get some extra things.
Right.
And, you know, it probably stand to reason if you're interested in this,
you've got
probably
the other.
Have Infamous Second Son, but
so it's kind of like the Far Cry thing in a way.
Blood Dragon,
because Blood Dragon really did not tie into Far Cry 3 whatsoever. It only just used like
the engine,
the island, sort of like, as you know, this actually looks like it ties into the world of Infamous, so. But yeah, as they said, yeah, you don't need the actual Infamous Second Son game to do this. Then they had one of their big announcements, I would say, Little Big Planet 3.
I saw a lot of Twitter like fervor over that.
Yeah, and this, I mean, if you're familiar with the previous two, they looked great on the PlayStation 3. Looks even better on this one. They stress there's more depth. And now there's new characters that'll accompany Sackboy. There's Oddsock. It's like a four-legged little guy. He can wall jump, and he's faster. Then there's Toggle, which is like this. he's like the biggest of the characters. They sort of like they stress, you know, is like he's big and strong, so he can, you know, in parts of the levels where you need like weight or lift things or that. But the cool thing with him is, if you sort of imagine Mario, like when Mario can get big and he gets real small, as he can do that too, and he shrinks to like tiny little guy. It's pretty adorable. So he can get through like little cracks and stuff like that. And then there's Swoop, which is a bird.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have a character that can actually fly and can pick up other characters and carry them to other parts of the level.
Okay.
Sackboy can wall climb now, and he has sort of like this, it's kind of looked like a hair dryer in a, kind of in a sense, like it blowed air so he could move obstacles and things around so people could get through different stuff. But yeah, they had four people from the company on stage like demoing a level and going through it. And yeah, I mean, if you're familiar with Little Big Planet, it looks like more Little Big Planet, but it looks really nice. Yeah.
It's the prettiest Little Big Planet you've seen yet.
Yeah. And it's cool. Like just showing off more depth with the levels looked really nice. Like it felt just more alive.
Very cool. Yeah. The first one was a very flat game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not a bad thing, but just
limited. You can tell this one's, there's definitely way more feeling to it. Mm-hmm. And then they also said that the Little Big Planet community levels can be played on Little Big Planet 3 with improved graphics.
Ooh.
So don't feel like,
lost out.
Played all this, you know, I spent all this time on these levels and for 1 and 2. You can still play them in 3. So your time wasn't wasted.
Hooray!
Type of thing. So that's cool.
Good move on their part, too.
Yeah. And then it went to from Little Big Planet 3 to Bloodborne.
Oh.
It's from Software, makers of Demon's Souls and Dark Souls.
Uh-huh.
Kind of a strange little shift. They also did...
hard left.
Throughout the show, they did this thing to kind of break it up where they asked people, to send in letters to them, like talking about PlayStation and what do you want to see and where and all that, blah, blah, blah. And so they kind of broke some of those letters up and talked about like, oh, this person did this and, oh, you know, that person wants this. And so that's how they kind of used to segment some of the stuff they were talking about. But anyway, Bloodborne, it's going to seem like be sort of a spiritual successor to Demon's Souls.
Okay.
But they're still saying too that it's not like, don't think it's just Demon's Souls 2 or Dark Souls 3. Mm-hmm. It's going to be its own thing, but it definitely has that gothic like
that's it's the spiritual feel. Successor. It's got you can see where it came from, but it's not going to be the same thing.
Exactly. And it looks very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was Far Cry 4, which they showed off, which is a third-party thing, but what's big with the PlayStation 4 is you'll be allowed, it has co-op.
Cool.
And you'll be allowed to invite friends to play with you who don't have the game.
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. So that was pretty big. Like, they didn't really go into exact details on how it'll work yet, but that's what they said. Like, yeah, you'll be able to invite your friends to play, and even if they don't have the game.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then they showed a trailer for Dead Island 2, which was weird to say the least. I'll let you go check it out for yourself if you like. But for the PS4, it's getting an exclusive beta and character/level. If you're familiar with the original Dead Island trailer, there was some controversy around it. It definitely had a unique sort of style to it. This sort of has its own little thing. It seems like they like to do
something
interesting
kinds
of trailers. Yeah. With theirs. Then they had the Diablo 3 Ultimate Evil Edition, where they've only just kind of briefly mentioned it, that the fact that Last of Us monsters from The Last of Us will be in the PlayStation 4 version of Diablo 3
Ultimate
evil edition. So yeah, like the lurkers and the crazy creatures, they're going to be in that version of it. Then their big thing, as far as like shooters after they started with Destiny, was the Battlefield Hardline. This is, if you're familiar with Battlefield, well, ignore everything you know about Battlefield, because this one is about cops and robbers this time instead of military. So you'll be either playing the side of the cops or criminals. And yeah, they showed, you know, the criminals taking down some armored cars, trying to get loot to certain locations, and the cops trying to stop them. And it had all the sort of familiar stuff you're familiar with Battlefield, you know, destructive environments, the
customizations.
The customization, the leveling. It's definitely a Battlefield game. It's just a completely different
scenario.
Genre. And it's getting an exclusive beta for the PlayStation 4. And I think they were actually like letting people play at the time that the conference was going on, or throughout this week.
Wow, that's impressive, because Battlefield games are notoriously not finished.
Yeah, well, this one is actually being handled by Visceral. Visceral and DICE.
The one good hope for it.
Yeah, so they're the single player might actually be worth playing in a Battlefield game,
to
say the least. So then it moved on to... Sony mentioned like they're having partnerships with Disney. So one of those gets them Disney Infinity exclusive special edition. Apparently they're getting like the Hulk first in their version. If you're not familiar with Infinity, it's similar to Skylanders,
but with that Disney sort of characters.
Sense, Disney characters and whatnot. So then they mentioned, because sort of like, you know, the indie game kind of thing, they talked about Magicka 2 was coming, and going back to the letter thing that I mentioned earlier, people writing in, they did sort of one where they had a letter, and they sort of zoomed out on the hand of the letter. Like, the letter made it seem like, hey, like a 10-year-old wrote this, and then you see like the finger of the hand, it's got some hair in the knuckle, and the guy's like, wait a minute, that doesn't look right. And it zoomed out, and it was Tim Schafer. And the big thing is, because of their partnership with Disney, they're bringing back Grim Fandango, remastered exclusive PS4 and Vita edition.
Oh, okay. Now I want a PS4.
Yeah, a lot of people cheered for that. That got a lot of applause, and yeah.
So, I want to say things right now that are not radio safe. Sony!
So yeah. And then it went into a slew of independent games like Broforce, Not a Hero, Hotline Miami 2, Talos Principle, Titan Souls, you know, Sony, big indie. That's what they're trying to push. Then they had a Suda 51 PlayStation 4 exclusive called Let It Die. It was like a kind of a live action trailer, very graphic. If you're familiar with Suda 51 games, it's very, you know, you're not surprised by the violence and the stuff in it. It's then there was a very pretty game from some of the makers of Journey. This is company Giant Squid. It's Abzu. It looked like you were kind of a, not a scuba diver, but you were exploring the ocean, and it just, it looked very pretty. I highly recommend checking out the trailer. And the big game that was mentioned in last year's Video Game Awards that probably got the most attention from everything else, No Man's Sky is coming to the PlayStation 4. They did a lot of this. I noticed this in a lot of the conferences, but they did a lot of like console first here, or like they didn't come out and say like exclusive to just this, or like it made it sound more like, okay, it's going to make its console debut here first. But like they sort of word it so maybe it sounds like, well, wait, is it like just going to be on that, or is it just showing up on there first? So they kind of keep it up in the air, so you're like, well, if they're getting it, I should get that system because it's going to be on there. If you're not familiar with No Man's Sky, it's this huge, like, really small team making this huge game where basically every player starts on a different planet. Every planet is procedural, unique, and unexplored. It looks really cool. It's very ambitious. It's, like you fly in a spaceship, but you also land like it's first person. You're exploring planets and yeah, it's, I recommend checking that one out. That one also got a very huge applause because that was a, like the biggest thing from the video game awards from last year. Then I thought this was a dick move by this one of the CEOs, but they, when they came out and talked about Project Morpheus, their first little part was, we at Sony, you know, we thought that the camera was always a choice. So I thought that was a dick move, but it got a little bit of applause. But anyway, yeah, they talked about Project Morpheus teaming, you know, working with the PlayStation 4 camera and blah, blah, blah. Then the PS4 is going to get the YouTube app where you'll be able to use the share button and dump your gameplay footage and whatnot directly to YouTube. So that's cool if you, you know, do that. Yeah, because they don't have YouTube yet. And then they kind of briefly mentioned with Twitch and Ustream that they want to now allow you, the people watching, to be able to interact with the player. Mm-hmm. And they sort of did this idea of like how, say you're watching a horror movie and, you know, you want to yell at the person, don't go upstairs. Like, so it sounds a little bit like, well, people can, like, there's a chat box and they can chat, but it sounds like it's going to be
voice chat or something.
Well, maybe, or I don't know. It sounded more like you'd actually be able to interact in the game itself, but they didn't really go into a lot of detail. There's going to be some free DLC for the PlayStation 4 Playroom. There's 25 free-to-play games coming, you know, within the next, this year and next year. PlayStation Now is going to have an open beta on July 31st in the U.S. and Canada, with PS3 and Vita following soon. You'll also be able to use it on certain Sony TVs. You just need a PS3 controller. I feel sorry for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to have 100 plus PS3 games. I think right now it's like in closed beta, so... and then the PSTV is coming in the fall. It'll let you like stream your PS4 to another TV and do a few other little things like that. Then they showed off Mortal Kombat X, or maybe Mortal Kombat, Kombat 10. Mm-hmm. Like it's, they call it X, but you know, it's like in the numerical line, it actually would be 10, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very pretty. It looks like it would be fun to play. It's brutal.
It's
like,
Mortal Kombat. So.
Yeah, yeah. It's the fatalities were pretty nuts. Then
has the X-ray hits. That's a
yeah,
big
it's
thing
got those.
Back.
Mm. Yeah, and it had some neat little characters that they showed off. They had one that was like a big guy with this little girl like riding on its back, and he'd like throw her or like use her, and she'd pop back on. And yeah, it was pretty cool. Then they went into some like media content. They're going to have if you're familiar with Powers, the comic series. Mm-hmm. They're going to do a TV series. It's going to premiere in December.
Interesting.
You're going to get the first episode for free if you're a place. Yeah, the first episode is going to be free for everyone. And then if you're a PlayStation Plus member, you're going to get the entire series. Then they talked about Ratchet and Clank movie in 2015. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And they're also going to do a remaster of the original Ratchet and Clank, the first one, for PS4 with new graphics and gameplay.
Hmm.
Then they briefly mentioned like The Last of Us for PS4. So obviously, and then if you're a fan of Metal Gear Solid 5 or, you know, Metal Gear, they showed a very stylized Metal Gear trailer. It's cool. I'm excited for it. But yeah, it's all cinematic stuff. It wasn't any sort of gameplay thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, and then they had GTA 5 coming to the PS4. I hear it's coming to Xbox One and PC later. But yeah, that's coming in the fall. And they mentioned that PS3 and 360 players can import your online characters from GTA Online into the PS4 version. I'm pretty certain that you'll be able to do that for the other ones also, but since it's apparently coming there first, and then last but not least, they ended the show on Uncharted 4. Not a huge surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It looks like it's Nathan Drake, a little older, and Nolan North and some of the others, the way it's hinted that this will probably be at least the last Uncharted with Nathan Drake. Mm. So, you know, I think it's always good to, if you know, end it on top. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you got a one last sort of hurrah, end it on that and don't, you know, milk it for more and more, and then it loses that. So
that spark.
Yeah. So overall, I mean, solid show. Little things here and there that kind of bugged me, but it's definitely, if you own a PS4, there's some good stuff coming. So
it's gonna be a good year in 2015.
Yeah. So I think, with time, you want to just go ahead and go into Microsoft?
Maybe touch on like one of the areas of Microsoft, so that, or do we want to save stuff for some other time? Or
I leave it up to you. If you don't want to do Microsoft, we can save it for next week, because we have Microsoft and third party stuff.
Let's just save it for next week. That way we can all team up on that one.
Okay. Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Since we all own an Xbox One, and
we'll have more to say about that.
Yeah, but so I guess, to kind of, you know, we've got a few minutes still left in the show.
I thought the PlayStation TV thing was an interesting thing. The streaming to different televisions in your house for like an extra $99. That is kind of a slick little technique, but the sort of weird twist on it was them spending time on something like this and making it sound like it's a big selling point, when of course it's like having TV be a feature of like the Xbox was something that they ended up really berating a lot.
And then they did like they had the stats things like X number of people push the share button. This is how many hours of this and playing. All these things, like, I mean, that's impressive, but who cares? Like, I mean, it's,
what does that really matter? Yeah, it means people are using your system.
Hey, big who shock! You sold millions of units of it. Like, what? People just kept it in the box in the corner. It's like, and not used
that's
it.
That's what I did.
it was weird. Yeah, and I mean, it was a little bit like to me with like the camera thing. It was just there was stuff. I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, you can invite your friend who doesn't have the game. Well, wait a minute. Microsoft was going to do like a family sharing kind of thing. This is, I don't understand. It was like, all right, fine.
I always find it really amusing sometimes, and just heart wrenching at other times, watching the companies sort of like play volleyball with each other's features.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, it's not our feature now. No, we thought of it first. No, we thought of it first. But we're going to make fun of you for not thinking of it first, because we're rolling it out next year. And then you're...
the last thing that I... Well, the reason why I brought up the PlayStation TV thing is actually for you. Since you freaked out about the Grim Fandango thing, and one of the releases is going to be on the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other kind of selling point of the thing, is it is a television-based PlayStation Vita.
Okay.
So you can play Grim Fandango on this thing for $99.
Okay.
It's still not a cheap way to play Grim Fandango.
No.
But it is an option.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you can use it in the future in conjunction with your shiny new PlayStation 4 when you eventually get one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and they did also, like, a lot of the games were, you know, both PS4 and Vita. So they're definitely continuing to stress, like, we're not giving up on the Vita. Like, it is an integral part to, you know, our family of systems and stuff. So
that was the other telling thing to me, though, about the PlayStation Vita in general, was they kind of pushed the Vita in the same way that Microsoft is pushing.
Smart
or
plus.
Was right. They were pushing that, oh well, it has all the touch stuff and it's integral to the experience of the Vita and what really makes the system.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Xbox has their like Kinect, and they sort of do their same idea of that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this PlayStation TV thing, which plays Vita games,
right,
it uses a DualShock 3, so there's, like, no touch.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah.
I'm just missing something there, if it was so integral to all of these games.
Well
Grim Fandango is an older game, too.
Are you thinking of... PlayStation Now is the streaming service that some Sony TVs will have that you just need the DualShock 3 controller for. The PlayStation TV is like a box that you still need the other, like you still need a Vita. PlayStation 4, you still need a Vita. It's like it allows you to stream the stuff.
The way that I read the article that was talking about it, I read a specialized article just about it. They made it sound like it itself actually has the plugs to plug in Vita games.
Okay.
Huh.
And that you plug in a...
But then you'd
DualShock
still need, like...
into the little box itself.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah. Okay, so...
So it doesn't have a screen on it. It doesn't have any touch sensitivity or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you can play a Vita game.
You can
on
play
it.
Vita. Okay. So yeah, you could probably play the ones that don't use any of the touch
features. Okay.
Touch features. So yeah, I mean, not owning a Vita, I don't know how many games actually like utilize a lot of the touch stuff. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's really not.
Well, I guess that's sort of my point is that. If the touch sensitivity thing is like such a big deal, then that kind of breaks this new product, which would kind of lead me to believe that it's not really such a big deal, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the plus side, it's optional, like truly optional. So it's, you know, if it doesn't thrill you, we don't.
But I want to be able to touch Grim Fandango.
Then buy a Vita.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah, and they stress the cross play you can play your games from this through through using the Vita and stuff like that. So if you were sort of worried like since they're discontinuing the PSP, if you were like the Vita is going to be on its way out too. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like it's going away anytime soon. That's definitely a positive thing, I think. And it's nice to see them actually like supporting it with the PS4, you know, like you should have both. Like, I think there's actually going to be a bundle coming out somewhere where you actually, it will have a Vita and a PS4.
That's kind of rad.
Yeah.
I don't know much it's going to be. I imagine it'll be
not cheap,
but.
Nah.
But it'll be a discount on both items, assumedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, so there you have it. We touched on Sony, we touched on Nintendo, and then we'll save next week for Microsoft and E3. Like I said before, there's so much stuff. It's like we can use like an entire shows to do it. But so yeah, well that's been Robots Attack for this week. Caleb, how can they participate and reach and check out previous shows and all that jazz?
Certainly. If you wish to get in contact with us, there are multiple ways. You can find us on Facebook, do a search, Robots Attack, two words, or go to our handy-dandy Robots Attack Show page. It's facebook.com/robotsattackshow. If you go there, it will take you right to us. It's pretty awesome. You can find us on Twitter. Our handle is robotsattackme, all one word together. Or if you want to email us, it's robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, if you just want one place to rule it all, one place to find it, one place to find old episodes, catch up on some of the cool things we've talked about in the past, leave comments, whatever. All of our social networks are also linked there as well. It is robotsattack.me. One place to get everything else. It's good stuff.
Nice. All right. That's going to do it for this week. Stay tuned to all those places that Caleb mentioned because summer hours are going to be kicking in and we'll be probably changing some of the time. So, just stick with us. We'll let you know when to check out our next show, next week. But, on behalf of myself, Caleb and Jason, have a wonderful Father's Day weekend and, just stay safe and have fun. And coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show, stick around for some good music from some good guys. All right, everybody, have a good one.
Raccoon, Veronica, Mistel.